is hanging low. From my room I see them die, traveling into darkness. Day by day, children play, chasing dreams away with the games they play. As I sit and watch them grow, I see all their faces. Faces tell me what you've seen. Faces tell me what you mean.
Hello, this is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Today's interview is with Freddie Freeman from TC Atlantic. Freddie joins us today over the phone from Arizona. Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is March 20th, 2016, and we're talking with Freddie Freeman on the phone today from Arizona about the band TC Atlantic. Freddie, what is your full name, your date of birth, and hometown, please?
Frederick Marshall Freeman. July 12th, 1946, and I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And what part of town did you grow up in?
I grew up in kind of South Minneapolis, near Lake Street, and it was 2402 East 25th Street. That's where I grew up.
And where did you go to high school, and what year did you graduate?
Well, I moved to St. Paul Park in 1960, and so I graduated from St. Paul Park High School in 1964.
What's your earliest recollection of being interested in music?
In the early 50s, listening to, you know, pop radio, and then, of course, as many others, Elvis Presley came along, and he blew me off my feet, you know, and that was a whole new thing. And after that, you know, I was into rock and roll, you know, as a kid.
And how did your first band come together, and what was the band called?
Well, the first band that I actually had was called Ricky and the Revels, and that was in high school. And that was with Bob Wells and myself. Gordon Myers, I believe, was the drummer, and I can't even remember the guitar player's name. It was just one of those fleeting. There were two guys in St. Paul Park. They were the Holmes brothers, Dallas and Douglas, but they couldn't keep playing with us because they were Christian players, and they later moved into Christian music, and Doug Holmes became very famous in that field. So it was Ricky and the Revels, and then Joe Cannon and Dan Nelson joined us, and we became the Chessmen after that.
Now, what year would that have been?
1964.
And were they also students at St. Paul Park High School?
Yes, we were all, the whole band was from St. Paul Park High.
Now, who came up with the name The Chessmen?
I believe I did. I don't know why. There's so many. It was a very generic name. But I don't know. It was just a passing name. And then, of course, as time went on, I thought, this is too generic. And that's when I started thinking about TC Atlantic, you know, coming up with a new meaning that was more original.
Did the Chessmen play live?
Oh, yes. We played around St. Paul Park. We played at the Thompson Grove Country Club, it was called. We played at the Fire Halls, the Masonic Lodge, the high school, things like that, around the Newport, St. Paul Park area.
And just for the record, who played what and who sang?
Well, I was playing organ. Bob Wells on guitar, Joe Cannon on bass, and Dan Nelson on drums.
Did the other guys sing background vocals, or?
Yes. Joe and Bob sang background vocals. Dan didn't sing.
What kind of music did the Chessmen play?
Well, this was pre-Beatle, you know, so we played old rock and roll. I was very much influenced at the time by Joey D and the Starlighters, so we did kind of an R&B thing like that. Old rock and roll, you know, basically stuff like that, you know. I feel so fine. We were also influenced by the local bands that we used to go see, like the Accents, like we were talking about. The Accents were a big influence on us.
What was there about the Accents that you liked?
Well, first of all, Tom Nystrom, he was a great vocalist, great drummer. Bill Miller on electric piano. And they played Lonnie Mack. That was another, it was a very, very unusual thing to hear a band play this Lonnie Mack stuff. And they were very good at it. Turn On Your Love Light. I think most of the bands copy that from the Accents, actually, you know. They were the ones I first heard play that song, and I was like, that's a great song, you know. We used to sing them at the Safari Club.
That was over on the east side, right?
Yeah. Also, I was really influenced also by the Trashmen. You know, early on, I used to go to the auditoriums, and I remember, you know, Surfenberg is really big, and all there was two groups, the Baldies and the Animals. They were, the Baldies were Ivy League, and the Animals were kind of old rockers. They were like local gangs or something it started as.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really influenced by, you know, the look of the Baldies. So the band, we were dressing like an Ivy League band, you know, the modest shirts, starting to comb our hair in Caesar haircuts, things like that. White jeans, loafers, penny loafers and saddle shoes. That was the look.
Did the Chessmen become popular around your part of town?
Oh, yeah. We were quite popular. We didn't have a lot of competition around the area either. But we were really progressing. We used to rehearse in Dan Nelson's basement, I remember.
Where did Dan live?
He lived in Thompson Grove, it was called. It was tract homes, you know, in the Cottage Grove area, St. Paul Park area. I lived about two blocks away from him there.
Okay, and how long did the Chessmen stay together?
Well, we changed our name, so we turned into TC Atlantic after the State Fair in 1964.
Did you play in 64 at the State Fair as the Chessmen?
No, we had changed our name to the TC Atlantics with an S on the end. It was kind of a battle of the bands kind of a thing. It was the year before the Teen Fair started. So we came in second place at this contest. The band, the Mustangs, a surf band, mostly instrumentals, came in the first. But this is where we met Peter Steinberg. He was there watching us. He approached us after we played and asked us if we'd be interested in recording as management also.
How did you come up with the name TC Atlantics?
Actually, I think I was influenced. There was a group in the Twin Cities called the BG Ramblers, I think it was. And there was, Booker T and the MGs. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool to have some initials. You know, PC. So that was Twin Cities.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, what is unique I can use? And I thought, well, oceans haven't been used. And why I picked Atlantic, it sounded better than Pacific, I guess. So TC Atlantic became the name, you know. The TC Atlantics was first, but after the State Fair, I thought, TC Atlantic would be a better name without the S.
So what did Pete Steinberg have to say to you after the State Fair contest?
Well, he was particularly impressed by the song Feel So Fine. It was a song by Johnny Preston that featured falsetto. I sang this falsetto and also a very bassy voice. He thought, well, he said, "You have quite a range, a vocal range." And so he said, "I'd like to record, you know, record that and some other songs, you know." So he took us into Delta Studios in St. Louis Park. And we recorded about 5 songs, just live. I Think That We Feel So Fine, That'll Be the Day, You Can't Turn Back the Clock was one, and Rockin' Robin, and Mona, and a slow version of Mona, kind of laid-back feeling, like the Rolling Stones did.
And what happened with the tape?
The master tape, I don't know, but I do have a reel-to-reel that I found when I moved here to Arizona recently. I unearthed all these reel-to-reel tapes, and that was one was that tape in there. So it's a mix down of it, but I'm glad I have it. You know, it's a piece of history.
Okay, so how does your first 45 come about? Once Upon a Melody on the A side, and the B side, I Love You So, Little Girl.
Right, right. Well, Dub Studios had moved from the original St. Louis Park to Bloomington. Peter Steinberg, he was starting to book us. He had a place in Chisago City called the Peppermint Club. He used to book us there and try to book us here and there. And then he said, I sat down with him. I remember I Love You So, Little Girl, playing that with him. But then he said, let's record that. And I had another song, the Once Upon a Melody, which I had no connection to it at all. And so I just came in. I remember I overdubbed an organ in the solo and sang the lead vocal. And that was that, you know.
You told me that there's an interesting story about Dan Nelson here. What was Dan Nelson playing on those 2 songs?
Oh, I don't remember if the band played on Once Upon a Melody. I think it was a track that Peter had put together already. I don't think any of us played on there except for the overdubbed organ.
Oh,
there was Glockenspiel on it and all kinds of stuff.
So Once Upon a Melody was pretty much a complete song, except you overdubbed an organ, and then you sang the lead vocals?
Right.
And
right.
Did the guys add background vocals on that or not?
No, I don't believe there was any on there.
Okay. So then the B-side, I Love You So, Little Girl, that's the actual band playing the whole song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we played that, and that was the one with Dan Nelson. He played a Coca-Cola glass with a utensil. I think it was just a knife, you know, like a butter knife, and clinked it.
So not a Coca-Cola bottle, but an actual glass.
Right. Right. It was a glass.
And he banged on it.
So
it
had a nice ringing sound anyway. And I Love You So, Little Girl. So then I did 3-part harmony on it, singing with myself and overdubs, and then they released it, and that was the first airplay we ever got on KGWD, the Bobby Wayne program.
Did Bobby play the A side or the B side?
He played the B side, I Love You So, Little Girl. So that was quite a thrill to hear ourselves on the radio. And I thought that Bob Wells, he did a great guitar parts. He was a very, very talented musician, I thought.
So you recall the first time you heard I Love You So, Little Girl playing on a car radio?
Actually, it was in the kitchen of my house where I lived in Thompson Grove, and I heard it on the radio. Because we used to listen to his program, because he featured local bands in one part of his program. So
how did you feel when you heard your own song being played on KDWB radio?
It was amazing, really. It was just kind of a dream come true, really. It just, I'm on the radio. You know, listen, we're on the radio. You know, it's wonderful. Really wonderful, you know.
And I assume Aesop's label was owned by Peter Steinberg, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
And this other gentleman, Harley Tolbermann, you said you don't know anything about him, right?
I don't remember him, really. No, I don't. It's funny, you know. He's involved, and he released the TC Atlantic CD and everything. But I don't remember him. Funny, just Peter.
So Peter actually became a booking agent for you guys too.
He did for a while, yes. And but Bill Deal came along. He used to. I remember meeting him the first time at Jordan Teen Town. He came. He used to come and do appearances and give away records, and that was the first time I remember him. He was watching us, and I used to go into this wild man act on stage playing. He thought that was quite unique, you know. So he was starting the Central Booking Alliance with Dick Shapiro, and I remember we were playing at Walcott Arena, and he finally approached us and said, "I want to book you guys exclusively." So Peter, he was only involved with the studio after that, and then Central took over and booked us.
I'm kind of curious about what you said, that you acted on stage like a wild man. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I was, I don't know, I used to be very, I don't know what it was, just crazy when I played to go into these frenzies and stuff. I guess that was part of it, you know. I don't know where that came from, I guess. I don't know, but it was a lot of fun, but I used to work myself into a real frenzy, you know, and certain tunes.
Okay.
And he thought that was fantastic, so.
Now, I understand at some point Dan Nelson was called into the military service, is that correct?
Yes, he was drafted. We went, oh, now what are we going to do? Because Dan Nelson was such a great presence on stage, really. He had this blonde hair, you know, it's like a Brian Jones look, you know, at the time. And we all were different. Joe had flaming red hair, and I had, like, almost black hair, and Bob had brown hair. So we had this look, you know, and we dressed really great. And so Dan was called into the service. He was inducted. And we had heard at the time that Rod Eaton was leaving the Underbeats. Of course, we knew, you know, the Underbeats, the top three bands, Underbeats, Avantes, and the Accent. So we thought, that would be great if Rod, we could have him in our band. So we approached him, and we agreed, and we carried on from there. I don't think that we even had to rehearse that much because we all knew the material already, and he was so experienced, you know, an experienced professional. So
now when we talked to Rod Eaton several months ago, he told us that the very first time he saw TC Atlantic was August 21st, 1965, when your band was playing with other local bands in the walkways of the Met Stadium in Bloomington the night the Beatles played.
Correct. That was quite an amazing opportunity for us to be there and play there, you know. Everybody who went to see the Beatles, you know, walked by us as we were playing, you know, so it was great advertisement for the band, and also we had tickets to see the Beatles play, and it was just fantastic. The Beatles started with, I think it was Can't Buy Me Love, and they sounded like the record. I just couldn't believe it, you know. At first, the kids were not going so crazy as you couldn't hear them, you know. During the show, one of the speakers blew out in front of us, so one of the main speakers, out of, you know, the stadium speakers, and then the kids were getting wilder and screaming, the girls were screaming and stuff, so it was getting kind of drowned it out, the Beatles. But on the parking lot, our two road guys, roadies, said they sounded fantastic out in the parking lot. It was a wonderful experience.